What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to Hunter Larkin and the good folks at the Larkin Company. Everybody here is stuffed. We had a barbecue and a good crowd here at AFP's headquarters. Again, thanks to Hunter and the folks at the Larkin Company and our hosts at Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your portable, I guess, or rather on the road, a remote location, your remote liberal resistance headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. Phil is still manning the phones at 316-869-1330. You can also reach us by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. A couple of quick notes on some events coming up. A very cool event. Tyson Langhofer from the Alliance Defending Freedom will present a one-hour program for attorneys and non-attorneys on the new IRS policy on pastors and churches endorsing political campaigns and candidates tomorrow from noon to one. These groups, if you hadn't heard, they're finally able to exercise their First Amendment rights without fear of losing their 501c3 status. It's a very informative program. If you'd like more information, you can email cle@ksbar.org. Very cool event. If you're interested, you can, again, email cle@ksbar.org. And don't forget, if you live in the Derby area, the Derby Republican Women are having their meeting coming up on August 14th at 6 at the Calvary Baptist Church. This crackpot conservative radio guy named John Whitmer will be speaking. It should be a great event. So, again, that's Derby Republican Women. You can find out more information on that on their Facebook page. So thank you for joining us tonight. Coming up to kick off our 8 o'clock hour, the great one himself, Mark Levin, will join us for an exclusive interview to discuss his new book on power. We'll also be joined here in a few minutes with 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Be with us to deliver an update from Washington, D.C. I will talk with Senate President Ty Masterson about what the legislature can do now that Governor Kelly's administration has decided to comply with a SNAP benefit data sharing request from the Department of Agriculture. And we'll have a conversation with Dion Leffler, the opinion editor at the Wichita Eagle. He came out with another of his diatribes, shall we say, and claimed that Trumpers, that's you, me, and the 77 other million Americans who voted for Trump, when he said that we support ethnic cleansing by supporting the president and his immigration policies. So we'll have that conversation with Dion, and we're going to give away some prizes. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. We'll take your calls as well at 316-869-1330. Before we begin tonight, though, I want to have a, if I can, an honest conversation about the difference, the real difference between conservatives and progressives. And I think it's ironic that I'm having this conversation while we have Dion Loeffler on the show tonight. And it's the difference between liberals and conservatives, between Republicans and Democrats, between the American right and the American left. Because, you know, I've been to rallies on both sides. If you've ever gone down lately, if you go down to, you know, Douglas and Broadway, you can see it. But I've seen these rallies. I was a Tea Party guy back in the day. I used to go to the Tea Party rallies. I've covered both of these kinds of events. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, they are not the same. Not even close. When conservatives gather, it's an expression of pride in our country. You see American flags waving proudly. You see Back the Blue flags. You see Gadsden flags reminding people, don't tread on me. You hear prayer. You hear the national anthem. You see veterans being honored. Respect for police. People bring their kids. And when it's all over, they clean up after themselves. You could walk through the rally site an hour later and hardly know a crowd had even been there. When the left gathers, it's a different story. The American flag, if it's there at all, is upside down or shredded or on fire. Instead, you see Palestinian flags or Hamas flags. You see Mexican flags. And if it's as if we're supposed to apologize for being a sovereign nation. You see rainbow flags. You see trans flags. The chants aren't about America's greatness. They're about America's sins. It's not about building up, it's about tearing down. And when the rally's over, there's trash everywhere. Broken windows, spray paint on walls, if they leave the walls standing at all. That's the difference. The right wants to make America great again. The left wants to make America ashamed. Progressivism, modern liberalism, is not just another political philosophy in American tradition. It's contrary to the American tradition. It's hostile to the founding principles of this country. Our founders built a nation on the belief that government is the servant, rather than the master. That your rights come from God, not from the state. Progressivism flips that on its head. To them, government isn't the last resort, it's the first solution. They want big, centralized power controlling every detail of your life. And they use identity politics to divide us. Instead of saying, we the people, they say, we the groups. They're no longer an individual with dignity. You're a label, a demographic, a statistic, and they use those divisions to consolidate power. And if you dare dissent, if you dare resist, they'll crush you, they'll censor you, they'll cancel you in your career, harass you until you sit down and shut up. That's not freedom, that's not liberty, that's not America. Winston Churchill, who knew a thing or two about defending civilization, once said, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. That's exactly what progressivism has become, the gospel of envy. They can't stand the idea that someone might succeed through hard work, so they tell people they're oppressed, and then promise to redistribute someone else's success. Conservatives rally because we love America. We want to protect it. We believe in its exceptionalism. Our gatherings celebrate our heritage, our Constitution, and our values. Liberals rally to list America's faults, to rewrite our history, to tear down statues of Washington and Jefferson, and lecture us about why our flag is supposedly a symbol of oppression, racism, patriarchy, and privilege, while they sip their soy lattes and wave flags of regimes that actually oppress people. At a conservative rally, you'll see a veteran get a standing ovation. At a progressive rally, you might see the same veteran shouted down for wearing the uniform. That's the difference. The battle lines aren't about party labels anymore. They're about whether you believe in the America our founders gave us or whether you want to replace it with something entirely different. One side says America is the greatest nation on earth, well, worth defending, worth improving, worth passing on. The other side says America's broken, racist, and in need of being fundamentally transformed. Well, folks, we can't afford to be silent. We can't afford to be passive. As Reagan reminded us, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. And right now, the forces that want to extinguish it are organized, loud, and relentless. So wave the flag. Stand for that anthem. Wear your MAGA hat. Teach your kids to be proud of their country. It's the most important thing you could do. Because at the end of the day, the difference is simple. They want to apologize for America. We want to fight for America. And I know which side of history I'm standing on. We'll take a quick break, and then Senate President Ty Masterson will join us to discuss what the legislature can do now that Governor Kelly's administration has decided to comply, or rather not comply, with a SNAP benefit data sharing request. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station, thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station, thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. Want to remind you about our friends at AFP. We're here at their offices, and if you're looking for a way to get involved in the upcoming political cycle, AFP is a great way to do that. They believe in freedom and opportunity. They're the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our country. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Kansas Department of Children and Families has announced it's withholding information from the federal government. The information in question is related to users of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, refusing to release information to the USDA that would allow the federal government to investigate unlawful activity in a program that is funded with federal taxpayer dollars. With us now to explain exactly why Governor Kelly may have chosen to do this is Senate President Ty Masterson. Ty, thank you for joining us. Since I know you and Governor Kelly are so close.
Why Laura Kelly did
well, something. You know, I mean, hey, I know you and Laura Kelly are close, so maybe you could explain. You're kissing cousins, yeah. I know.
I mean, it's obvious for political reasons, right? I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, we're under corrective action plan from the federal government, it looks like. And I've learned more about this SNAP process in the last 3 days than I probably even wanted to know. You know, those error rates, they throw it out like it's a number like 12 or 10. But it's actually, there's four different ways you can err, right? There's error in actually recertifying people. You can err in making wrong payments. You can err in not processing the people as they're eligible. And I would think even the left would be interested, because the error rate in that and processing, that leaves people that are actually eligible to receive the nutrition program not getting their benefit. And then you have the flip side of it, where you have a 10-12% error rate in payment rate. So one in eight, one in 10, you're paying someone that is not eligible for the benefit. Both sides of that are a bad thing. And, you know, the Trump administration is going to hold this state accountable, right? They're demanding a 6% error rate, and I support it. The reason they don't want to give the information, they don't want to be put under the microscope, but that needs to happen. I mean, it really focuses on why you need a compliant executive, a conservative executive with the Trump administration, right? It's all games. There's the letter of the law and there's the spirit of the law. So even when the legislature passes something very specific.
So if you had to guess, why do you think Governor Kelly is refusing to comply? I mean, is this about illegals? Is this about protecting illegals who are receiving benefits? Or is this just her way of sticking a thumb in Donald Trump's eye?
Honestly, I think it's just sheer incompetence. They don't care about being accurate with those numbers, right? And by the way, it's not our money, right? I mean, it's a federally funded program in their mind, so it's free money, right? They're just pushing it out the door. They don't care how accurate it is. They're just pushing the money out the door. So I think it's just lack of concern to be accurate.
You know, one of the things that the DCF announced in late July, they would not be cooperating with this request. I got to wonder, what does the federal government do now if they want a 6% error rate, we're at a 12, so twice what the goal is. What does the federal government do, if you had to guess, in response to this? I mean, could they withhold federal dollars? And in which case, that actually hurts not only the people who need this money, but it hurts the rest. It hurts our state.
Yeah, no, and I don't think we really have to guess. I mean, they have some explicit penalties, right, that we are going to start cost sharing if our rates are so high. And there's actually a tier in the bill. If you're off by 8%, you pay this much of the cost share, 10%, this much of the cost share. And up where we're at right now, it's the maximum participation in the cost share. So it is, you know, she's saying she's out there saying, well, they're going to cost us money. We're have the federal government's kind of fine. That is true, but it's her fault.
Right.
Right. It's our administration's fault for having these high air rates, and they're just penalizing. We should have skin in that game.
And yeah.
So it's the worse you are in your air rate, the more you participate in the program from the state level, which is in effect a cost. It could be as high as $60 million.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay. It's not her money. What does she care? We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. Wanted to ask you another question. Just what is it, yesterday or today? She appointed another Supreme Court judge. This has been a major issue, I know, for our hosts this evening, for Americans for Prosperity. You know, I saw there's an op-ed in a paper today from former Justice Beyer. I call her Justice Bile, but Justice Beyer put out another praising the merit-based system. You know how great it is, and how this is just a perfect example of what a lovely system we have here. But I noticed this: she wasn't vetted. She didn't go through any democratic process. There was no advice and consent from the Senate. Just all of a sudden, nope. Look, I've appointed another justice.
And in her own comments said had no judicial philosophy.
The new justice said.
So, I mean, it's a perfect example, all right? It's a perfect example of why we need to do it differently. I mean, if you call that merit, no judicial experience, no judicial philosophy, and nobody has a decision except five lawyers and the governor. I mean, it's
realistically, because the other four, it doesn't matter. If the five lawyers want it, they have the control.
And one of the other comments that jumped out to me in her comments, the appointee, was that, you know, kind of saw herself as the guardian of the Constitution, right? And you need to be creative in how you do that. I see, but that's the ultimate fallacy. That the guardians of the Constitution are the people, right? And so that's why we need to elect them, right? Because you have to hold the guardian. Who's holding the guardians responsible, right? You have to guard the guardians. That's us. And that's why it's so imperative that we move to elections for Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think so too, because my biggest issue here, both, there was the complete lack of transparency. It's like you get a notice, oh, by the way, I've done this, and the voters are sitting there saying, well, who, what, when, where, what did this happen? There's no transparency. We don't even know who it is. The only people who vetted it were her colleagues, who are then going to be turning around arguing for her, so you know they didn't do a very thorough vetting, because you don't want to piss her off.
Only people that are paying attention even know that this is even happened.
Right.
You walk down there on the street, you're not going to find one in ten that even know we have a new Supreme Court justice appointed or anything about them or what their philosophy is. Nobody knows. That's why it's so important, because that is that elections are the jury of your peers, putting your judicial philosophy out in front of the Kansas people. This is why this system they call merit, it's a fallacy, and it is why our court does not reflect the Kansas people. It is a complete distinction apart from what the philosophy of the Kansas people.
Well, and the thing that one of the reasons I want them to have to go through a campaign process is because, as you know, you and I both know, we've been through the juggernaut of a political campaign. Your dirty laundry comes out, you're forced to go around and talk to people, you have to earn their vote. And consequently, people will ask you the tough questions.
Yeah, when it's hard.
And I can't imagine that any of these five lawyers or any of the other lawyers ask them any tough questions, because, again, I'm going to have to practice in front of you, and so I don't want to wish to offend, so I'm going to ask a bunch of milquetoast, easy softball questions.
You have a perverse incentive not to ask.
Exactly. So how do you then really vet that person if all you're doing is asking underhanded softball questions?
I supported the federal model because that was just some voice of the people.
Right.
That was the only thing I thought I could get
some
through
accountability.
The legislature. I've been trying. I've run that amendment, I think, for the last 15 years. I've run it about
I voted for that year. Once or twice.
Yeah, thank you. but now I've really come to believe that the election is the way to do it, because even the politics of being confirmed by the Senate, there is then the voice of the people through their representative, which is better, much, much better than what we have right now. But there's still politics in that. The smaller the group making the decision, just the more hidden the politics are. And this is the most hidden it can never be.
Speaking of elections, I know you're one of I got two of you here tonight, but I know you're one of the candidates for governor. How's the campaign going?
It's going great. And I'll say we need a conservative governor. Yeah. Why I have that, I'm going to say we do have one person running in our primary that's in the wrong primary.
I won't name names because I want to have you all on the show at some point. So,
but other than that, I look forward to taking the opportunity to make my message, deliver my message to the people, and let them decide who it should be.
Well, if folks are interested, if they want to connect, if they want to contact you, both for, let's do it this way, both for the campaign, and I know you've still got another legislative session coming up, so if they want to reach out, what's the best way to connect with you?
For the governor's campaign, mastersonforgovernor.com, and then you get all the different links to whatever other social media, and then there's just ty.masterson@senate.ks.gov.
There we go. Well, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show again as we get, because you've got a whole other session to go up there and throw, you know, roadblocks in the way of Governor Kelly.
So. John, we have a great caucus this year. The 2024 elections were so amazing. The Republican caucus in the Kansas Senate in particular, we overrode 48 out of 50 vetoes. We didn't fight in caucus and spill out onto the floor. Nobody in the caucus was going and co-signing bills with the governor, running to the media. It was like, it was just such a breath of fresh air. Everybody seemed at least some shade of red, wanting to work in the right direction.
Could that be because Dennis Pyle was missing, maybe?
I didn't say it.
That's okay. I said that. I'm allowed to. Ty, I appreciate you. Wish you the best of luck, my friend. Thank you for coming and joining us tonight.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break, and then 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us to bring us an update from Washington, D.C. We'll talk about the state of the economy and the southern border. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. You're listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. If you want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, and make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. With us now is our 4th District Congressman, Ron Estes. Congressman, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show again. Thanks for swinging by. I hope you grab some of that barbecue that they have.
I have not had any of the barbecue yet, but it smells great.
It does. It does. Well, we've got a great crowd, so it's always nice to have you with us. I want to start with the border. In July, the southwest border saw a record low number of illegal crossings. The Border Patrol said that only 4,500 apprehensions, which is down. I mean, they were doing 22, 24 just a year ago under Joe Biden. This represents a 24% decrease just from June. So you're seeing massive decreases in what we're seeing on the border. It's amazing what a difference a president can make.
It really is. And what it highlights is that what President Biden said when he was running is that he lied when he said he needed new laws from Congress to actually enforce the border. President Trump's enforced it when he was in his first term. He's enforced the current laws that he's in this term. And you've seen a steadily step down every month President Trump has been in office. And in fact, June was even a higher percentage reduction,
right?
Because in June of a year ago, it was over 83,000 illegals were and I say apprehended because they weren't really arrested. It's normally they come across the border and then they say, okay, I give up.
Yeah.
Take us to get the free food and send us into the country.
Yeah, here's your Obama phone.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a 93% reduction down to just 6,000 people in the month of June. And as you said, dropped in July as well, down to 4,500. And it's so important because it's not just people that have crossed the border, but we know that as part of that, what the cartel folks were doing was they were bringing families and some of these other folks that have been paying them money. They would plop a dozen people at one edge of the sector that the patrol had, and then they go sneak their cartel members through the other sector and sneak the fentanyl in. And you know, we've seen almost 300 people a day die from fentanyl. And it's not just people that are using it that are overdosing on it, but it's the first responders when they go to retreat them. It's the family members. It's the doctors and nurses at the ERs. It's children have gotten a hold of it. And it's just a sad case. And for a president to not done to stop the deaths of that many Americans on a daily basis, I mean, that's equivalent of an airplane crashing every day. Mm. And the president didn't do anything about it when President Biden was in office.
I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the one big beautiful bill, and in particular some of the responses that we've seen. And I think there's a reason that Democrats, the Democrat Party in particular, has got such low approval. I think, what did I saw, 24% approval rating of Democrats. And the American public's turning against them. And I think it's in part because they opposed the common sense cuts. You had cuts to taxpayer-funded Medicaid for illegals in folks who are able-bodied adults who refuse to work. The fact that Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood, things like that. Even Democrats opposed taxpayer-funded abortion. And yet, when that bill came up, they all fell lockstep in line with that, to oppose the bill. And I think that's one of the reasons why the American public is turning against them.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, what they talk about, the Democrats in Congress talk about that they want to support, are policies that aren't defensible. I mean, they're horrible ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're talking about, okay, American taxpayers should pay free health care for illegals that have crossed the border, or American taxpayers, I mean, Americans are generous people, and we want to provide a handout for people, as far as a hand up in their process. But we also expect that if you're an able-bodied adult and you don't have kids, you should be able to expected to work or get some education or even at least volunteer as little as 20 hours a week.
Right. Skin in the game, basically.
Yeah. I mean, to show that you have some responsibility for what you're being given. And, they threw out a lot of numbers, 14, 15 million people that are going to lose their Medicaid was what the numbers they were projecting. But they projected that over 10 years. Now, what they didn't say was the Medicaid rolls are still going to increase. They're just going to increase at a slower rate. So they calculated that delta was the 15 million people that would lose it. And what they didn't say as well is that there are over 1.2 million people that are enrolled in Medicaid in two different states. And there's about 1.6 million people that are enrolled in Medicaid and an Obamacare health insurance policy. So those
double
are part
dipping.
Of the, they're double dipping.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are part of the people that are going to come off the Medicaid rolls.
Rightfully
and,
so.
Yeah, rightfully. And they won't. Yeah. Their health insurance won't be affected at all. So when the Democrats and their talking heads and supporters in the media say that people are going to lose health coverage, that's not true.
Yeah. Speaking of talking heads, I don't know if you've seen this. You probably haven't because, why would you? But yesterday at an event, perennial loser Beto O'Rourke had a real choice one. And I won't say exactly what he said, but he said, and I'm quoting here, he said, F the rules, F what, you know, for what F means, and called for Democrats to redistrict in any way possible, unquote. Now, Congressman, if you look at, like, say, Delaware, for example, 25% of the state are registered Republicans, yet their entire delegation is all Democrat. Same for Rhode Island, Hawaii. You know, I mean, granted, we don't want to, you know, you don't want to cheat, but necessarily the whole media, the whole country on the left is up in arms about what Texas is doing. Democrats have been doing this for decades.
Exactly. The Democrats have done redistricting, gerrymandering for
right.
years.
And they fled to Illinois, yeah. the most yeah. gerrymandered yeah. state in the country.
Yeah. I mean, there's seven Democratic states that have more than one representative that don't have any Republicans in it. And they range from, the Republican vote was anywhere from a third to 48% of the vote. And the Republicans were not allowed, because of their gerrymandering,
right.
to have a seat in that. And it's also funny that, you know, these Democrats from Texas that fled the state and didn't do their job, they went to Illinois. Illinois is a state where the Republicans got over 30% of the vote, but they only have 17% of the members of the House of Representatives because of the horrible, if you look at a map of Illinois,
horrible redistricting,
the way they did it. So it's a case in political pandering that they're
What's
talking
good for
about
the goose
now.
Is good for the
yeah.
yeah.
In Massachusetts, that Republican got 35-36% of the vote, and nine Democrats and no Republicans in the Massachusetts delegation.
Yeah, and again, we're not necessarily encouraging this type of gerrymandering. I don't like it. I'd rather we find a system that doesn't do that. But for them to say we're in the wrong, that Republicans are in the wrong, when they've been doing it for years, is just, you have to laugh at the hypocrisy.
Even in California, that supposedly has a nonpartisan redistricting commission, but of course it is partisan because Democrats select who the majority of the members
much
are.
Our nominating system for Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. In California, there's 26% of the delegation is Republican, whereas the Republicans got 40% of the vote in terms of that process. And so they're out wailing that that's not fair in terms of they should be able to cheat more in terms of that structure. I think, you know, if we put it into a computer system and let it calculate from the northwest corner of every state, and just started going east and south until you got enough for one district, and then start the next one.
Yeah,
and that'd be much better than the process that exists today.
Oh, I agree completely. We're talking with Congressman Ron Estes. For the first time in more than 9 years, the federal government had a budget surplus last month. We're seeing GDP growth. I lead in with that because when you get back, I mean, your biggest task now is the fiscal 26 budget. You get the spending bills. I know, you know, that's really your biggest task now before you.
Yeah, that's what's really left. But it's so important. I don't want to lose sight of what you mentioned in terms of the rescission that we put and actually being able to cut $9 billion out of spending, which was small potatoes in terms of what we need to be doing in terms of that. And looking at the things we're cutting out of that, I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder on some of the things you're doing.
You can't say anything specific because we're going to do the game here.
Well,
after
I have some extreme crazy ideas that they were spending money on.
Trust me, we've got them.
Yeah, okay.
We've got them.
Well, good.
Roman gave them to me.
Well,
so Roman gave me the list.
What makes sense is let's spend the American taxpayer money in a smart and prudent way.
Novel concept.
It is. And just like
like Ty, on Americans.
Ty, when he was in here, Ty Masterson said that you know, food stamps. I mean, Governor Kelly has never had an error rate on food stamps below 6%. It was below 6% before she came in office. It's been as up into the 20% in terms of their. That just means that the department's not managing the process well.
Right.
And so they don't want to have a scorecard. They don't
either
back.
Intentionally or just, you know, because of incompetence.
For so long a period of time, it was they were trying to put more people on rolls and push out more money because they weren't responsible. And what Governor Kelly should be doing, and this is what we set up in the One Big Beautiful Bill, is a responsibility on states. If states are going to give away this federal money through programs that we're set up on, and governors aren't managing and making sure that it's not done, that it's not done without errors, then the governors should be responsible for paying that administrative cost. And Governor Kelly needs to be looking at taxpayers in Kansas in the eye and say, well, yeah, we she didn't make the department work well enough, and so she's going to have to raise Kansas taxes in order to make the department work well enough.
I know I've got to let you run because I know you want to, you know, mingle and have some barbecue, but can I ask one last question that's a little more personal? I found out through, you know, someone who we both know that you've been dealing with some threats, that your office has received some threats, that you personally have received threats. You know, we could disagree. You know, heck, I saw it when I was in the legislature. I get it now. I get, you know, posts and things like that and messages on social media. But have we lost some common decency? Have we lost some respect? I was kind of shocked when I heard that you've actually received, because it's one thing to disagree with somebody, but to threaten them, have you ever seen it this bad?
No, it's pretty bad right now. And in terms of, and I think you hit the nail on the head, is a lack of respect for people. And there's been such a clamoring for how can somebody maintain the power that they want, whether they have it today or don't have it, but just going out and grasping that power. And when they don't do it with ideas that voters support, then they try to go out and demonize and criticize and attack. And, you know, we've seen all of these attacks out there. There's actually additional funding being done on a pilot project to support members of Congress for security needs as we go through, see what process. We can't have a detail for every member of Congress. It's just prohibitively expensive. It'd be almost $1 billion, $1 billion with a B a year, for every member to have a security detail to protect them. So right now, it's the speaker and leadership folks that have those details, because obviously they're in the roles that are much more important. But we track threats. There's probably threats are worse now than ever before, that the Sergeant of Arms and the United States Capitol Police actually do a good job of. We just got to make sure that we should think more as Americans. What do we agree on? And what do we work together? What is it that's our common thread that ties us together, that we look at how do we make America better?
Well, and it's unfortunate that we can't disagree without being to this extent of disagreeable. And I was surprised. I mean, I've known you since you were treasurer. And it's one thing to, you know, look, I may not like the way you vote on something, or I may not like the way, you know, AOC votes on anything. But I wouldn't threaten her. I mean, you see, it's just, let's vote against her. Let's rally against her. But you don't have to go to that extreme.
And you see all sorts of stuff. You see people just go out disrupting town halls, go out and disrupting speeches. You saw one of the members earlier in the last couple of weeks had somebody bring a coffin to their house and put on and prop up on their front door just because they're trying to intimidate. And you know, again, we can't lose sight that we're all Americans, that we should be looking at what binds us together instead of how can we look at something that's individual or some special interest.
Yep. Well, Ron, if folks want to subscribe to Ron's Reads, or if they want to reach out, what's the best way for them
on the official side, the best way to reach out is estes.house.gov. That's our official webpage. You can sign up for a newsletter there. We don't sell your name and address. We don't campaign through that either. It's just a way to get truthful facts out. We also have some things set up, as you mentioned, Ron Reed. We do some things through the campaign as well at Estes for Congress.
Well, the Ron's Reads are great. I've used a few of those on my carry-on commentaries, so I appreciate it. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, and it's good to be here. It's good to be able to talk about the truth, and that's kind of what we really want to do with Ron's Reads, is let's talk about ideas that are really good and truthful so that people have the facts.
They're good. I recommend folks subscribe. Congressman, thank you again. Appreciate it. Say hello to your lovely wife,
please. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, and, of course, we'll see who may wander over to the mic here at AFP's headquarters. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at AFP. They believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everyone. By the way, that mic is live, so if you talk, they will hear you, so you know.
I didn't say anything.
You just did. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Also, don't forget the John Whitmer Show. It's that time of year. Sponsorships for the show are now available. For more information, you can email tony@knssradio.com. So we're going to play a little game. It's called Rescission Bill, Fact or Fiction. So it's pretty simple, Rescission Bill, Fact or Fiction. And Deb Lucia from AFP has some stickers. So if you get the answer right, you get a sticker. If you get it wrong, you don't get a sticker. Okay, so here's the question. So was this an item that was cut from the Rescission Bill? Okay, was this an item? $1 million for voter ID in Haiti. Cut or not cut? Raise your hand if you think $1 million for voter ID in Haiti was cut from the Rescission Bill.
Okay, what was it?
$1 million for voter ID in Haiti. Okay. Yes or no? You are correct. That was cut. So, yes, that was correct. $1 million for voter ID in Haiti, if you can believe that. Okay, here's the next one. That was a real cut, by the way. $450,000 for a gender-neutral fashion week in Nepal. That's fake. That was not actually cut from the... That's not a real one. $6 million for net zero cities in Mexico. One. $6 million for net zero cities was a real cut in the Rescission Bill. We were spending $6 million in taxpayer money for net zero cities in Mexico. $3 million for an Iraqi version of Sesame Street. That is actually accurate. Yes, we spent $3 million for an Iraqi version of Sesame Street.
One, two, ha ha.
Yes,
three, ha ha.
How about $3.6 million to install air conditioning in igloos for Arctic tourism? Correct. That is not. That one is fake. How about, oh, here's a good one. You will not, you know, if you do not get a, you do not get a sticker if you fall for a fake one. $2.3 million to promote climate smart yodeling festivals in Austria. No, that is not true. We did not. But there were five of you. How sad is it that we actually, that and yet, you know, the sad part is people would believe it. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, the great one, Mark Levin, will join us for an exclusive interview. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, thanks to our friends at Union Station at the Larkin Company. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
Well, folks, he's here, now joining us, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker under the brick and steel of a nondescript building. We have once again made contact with and are proud to be joined by our leader, the great one, Mark Levin. Mark, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
It is my honor to be back in Kansas. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And by the way, let me start by congratulating you on the new book, On Power. It's the number one New York Times bestseller, as usual.
Well, that's thanks to all of our audiences, you know, the people who listen to you, and it's just a great honor. It's very important to me to get these books out there. I don't write it for money. I certainly don't write it because I've got all the time in the world.
No.
It's a long time, but I think they're important. You know, I don't write about myself. I'm not writing about, you know, psycho stuff, people tell, or how-to books. This is what I do.
This is a little different than the last book.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, the book's called On Power. And the reason is, I got thinking about this, And I think the debates we have, the battles we have, are about power. And whoever succeeds, we'll either live in a relatively free or free society, or we won't. And that's the battle between the modern Democrat Party that embraces Marxism and Islamism and anti-Semitism and all these other isms, and you and me and President Trump and so forth in the modern parlance. But our founders gave us a country like no other mankind has ever experienced, based on the belief that God is sovereign, that God's children on earth are sovereign when it comes to governing. That's why we, the people, and individual sovereignty. And they fused that with the Enlightenment from the 1500s, Locke and Montesquieu. These were the two most popular philosophers. And what did we get out of that? Mostly the idea that power checks power, which is our Constitution. So you have the Declaration and the Constitution. And no other country on the face of the earth has been founded, has been given birth this way, which is why this is such a fantastic republic. And so I take this word power, which is a very complicated word, by the way, because it affects everything. It affects your life at home. It affects your life at work. It affects everything. Who's in power? How do they get power? What about your power? How do you exercise power? This is a constant throughout the day and throughout your life. But I apply it, obviously, to government, the civil society, the culture. And I divide it into positive power, negative power, and its application to free speech and thought, its application to liberty and rights, its application to governance and so forth.
You know, when you wrote your last book, Mark, the Democrat Party has hates America. Jasmine Crockett, you know, Mondami, they weren't the face of the modern Democrat Party. Are there any Reagan Democrats left, or have they just purged them all? Because if you look at when you talk about power, when you look at who the power behind the Democrat Party is today, they frankly just hate America. It seems like it.
Not in elected office. I don't see. I guess Fetterman is quite different than the rest of them, but I don't see it. Maybe there's one hiding somewhere, but certainly the overwhelming majority of them, they've abandoned the American experiment, have they not? I mean,
right.
Most of them, now they may run for office sounding fairly moderate, but they vote hard left. They push policies hard left. You know, the party has grown very hostile to our country. It's embracing Marxism, the most radical elements, not just in New York City and other places as well. And it's an umbrella for the radical Islamists in the as they unite the Marxists and the Islamists. It is a hotbed of Jew hatred and anti-Semitism. In other words, it's become very poisonous. It's become like one of these radical left-wing parties in Europe that's been brought over here. So what we used to call blue dog Democrats or moderate Democrats,
right?
They're out there, but they're not in government. They're out there, but they're not running the Democrat Party.
Well, and they're afraid, I think, to speak up because people like Mondami and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, they're right in line with the old Fidel Castro. In fact, I saw you tweeted something along those same lines the other day, and they're very similar to that. We're talking with the great one, Mark Levin. Let me ask you a little bit something. I'm a little frustrated. I think a lot of us are these days. The president said earlier this week that Senate Democrats are extortionists, holding up qualified nominees. But at the same time, Republicans control the House and the Senate, and they've accomplished a lot. But couldn't they be doing more right now? How come we haven't seen more appointments, for example?
Because they have the filibuster. We only have 53 Republicans. It takes 60 to overcome a filibuster, and that's the problem. And so they're trying to figure out a way to get around it, and the way to get around it is recess appointments, which are also allowed in the Constitution. Those recess appointments are for a maximum of 2 years. They're for the one congressional term. So if somebody's recess appointed today, it ends at the end of the congressional term in a year and a half, but you can be recess appointed more than once. The president has brought this up, but for some reason, the Republican leadership in the Senate is not interested in that. I am very interested in that as a way of combating this. But in terms of an actual appointment, the filibuster rule is an issue. And so it's just like the gerrymandering. The Democrats will do anything they can to disrupt the republic, to undermine the republic, to usurp the rule of law. And unfortunately, the Republicans are going to have to push back the same way. And so when it comes to the appointments and so forth and so on, the next time there's a Democrat president, God forbid, They need to block them off.
Right.
But, you know, we get these guys, we get like the Susan Collins, the Lisa Murkowskis, and people like this. There's 6 or 8 or 10 of them. And they undermine the rest of the Republicans.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the gerrymandering, because there's much wailing and gnashing of teeth about that. And yet Democrats have been doing it for years.
Yeah, it's all BS. yeah, you look at California, it's out of control. Illinois, Maryland, they don't have a single Republican representative. Excuse me, they have one. Massachusetts has none. And we can go through all these states. And, you know, DeSantis is saying, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe we'll redo our state again. And Texas, obviously, is redoing its state. And, you know, they have the media there carrying their flag for them about how anti-democratic this is. I think one Democrat compared it to the Holocaust because they're sick. You mean the Holocaust, for God's sake.
Right.
So I talk about this at length, by the way, at my opening on Saturday's Life, Liberty, and Live-In, if anybody cares. I spend 20 minutes on it, going through the history of the whole thing and really what's taking place here. It's all BS from the Democrats.
Let me ask you a little bit something. I want to look forward, if we can. Who inherits the MAGA brand? You know, Trump, his term ends in 2028. Who inherits the mantle? Is it J.D. Vance? Is it Don Jr.? Is it Rubio? Who do you think inherits this brand?
Well, first of all, there's only one Donald Trump, so nobody's going to inherit any of that. And he's truly a historic and iconic figure, and we're going to wish one day that we had him longer. We really are. This is a remarkable human being who's doing unbelievable things. I don't think anybody inherits anything. Not necessarily a vice president or a secretary of state or anything else. They're going to have to compete in a Republican primary. I'm not behind anybody yet. I want to hear what they have to say. And so we'll see. So this word inherit, I don't much like, even though people talk about it all the time. So that's where I am. In other words, I'm in a wait and see position.
Let them fight it out, basically, which I tend to agree with you. That's the Democrats do the inherit thing. They love to do what's my turnism. I kind of like the idea of letting them fight it out and see, you know, where the chips may fall. I do want to ask you about something, since I mentioned wailing and gnashing of teeth, and since we're talking about left-wing meltdowns, they sure are upset about Sidney Sweeney, and I just would love to get your take on that.
Well, I don't wear blue jeans, so I don't, you know, it doesn't really care to me, but it's so ridiculous, isn't it? But they would know a lot about eugenics, since Woodrow Wilson, their progressive Democrat hero, was a big eugenicist. And when he was governor of New Jersey, they did, in fact, sterilize handicapped people, mentally ill people, as well as black people. And this was a big push, including ethnic eugenics, by that party. And so to hear Democrats today talk about, and particularly the left in the Democrat Party, this is like eugenics. I always said, well, you would know, wouldn't you? That's
right.
Number one. Number two, it has nothing to do with eugenics. These people are sick. They're just sick. And so the stock of that company went through the roof. And as it should, people are saying, you know what, let me try those genes. And that's a good thing. So the pushback on this wokeism is a terrific thing. And that whole issue is manufactured. It's BS.
It is ironic that their idea of a woman is Dylan Mulvaney and ours is Sidney Sweeney. I'll take Sidney Sweeney over Dylan Mulvaney any day of the week.
Well, they even tell us they can't define what a woman is. And then they have this Supreme Court lady, Jackson, they look at this, the first black woman, excuse me, is she a woman or not? You can't define it, but then you keep praising yourself for the appointment. If you follow the left, you'll lose your mind, quite frankly.
That's true. That's true. Well, again, the new book is called On Power. It's a New York Times number one bestseller. It's available on Amazon. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at Mark Levin Show, LevinTV.com, and, of course, weekday afternoons right here on KNSS as well.
That's the key, baby, right there.
Yes, yes. Mark, thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, you guys, too. And let me say this to Kansas. Keep growing stuff. Nobody eats more bread and corn than me. So thank you very much. God
Mark,
bless.
Thank you, brother.
You take care.
We'll take a break, and then Dion Leffler, opinion editor at the Wichita Eagle, will try and explain, or rather explain, why he says Trumpers should just own the fact that they're supporting ethnic cleansing of America. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Speaking of AFP, they believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of our county, of our country. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. They, by the way, every month they do a day of action. I believe the next day of action is coming up next Saturday. It's usually the third. Yep. Deb's giving me the next. So next Saturday is the next day of action. If you want to get involved, you want to get out, door knock, help educate voters, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get involved today. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, in his July 23rd op-ed, Wichita Eagle opinion editor Dion Leffler wrote, quote, "Why can't Trumpers," that's you and me and this audience and the 77 million other people who voted for the president, "just own the fact that what they're supporting is," quote, "the ethnic cleansing of America." The comment was so over the top and outrageous that I felt I owed Dion a chance to explain himself, and he agreed, to his credit. So, Dion, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on the show again.
So, explain what prompted the op-ed and what you meant when you said that Trumpers need to own the fact that we're supporting the ethnic cleansing of America.
John, I think that everybody in the country understands that there's an issue with, that there's a problem with unauthorized immigration to the United States. But this has gotten completely out of hand. The creation of unauthorized immigrants is one of the big problems.
By unauthorized, you mean illegal?
By unauthorized, I mean unauthorized.
Okay. Semantics, but okay.
Well, semantics are important. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, there are at least 500,000 people who were legal who have been made illegal. So if you've got a problem, then why would you make it worse?
So when you say they were made illegal, how were they made illegal?
They were made illegal because they revoked their permission to be here.
And when they revoked their permission to be here, they had a reason for that. Either they had overstayed their welcomes, or there was some reason. They didn't just all of a sudden say, no, we're going to make you illegal. There was obviously some justification for that, correct?
Actually, not really.
Not really? Or, I mean, what okay. was there? There had to be a reason.
Yeah, and that's why, and the term ethnic cleansing is not something that I use lightly.
I would assume so.
But these people were made unauthorized immigrants to the United States because, not because of anything they'd ever done, but because of the country they came from or the language they speak. And it is just, that is unconscionable. That is not America. We don't believe in collective punishment here. You know, these people, you know, they came from Haiti, they came from Cuba, they came from Venezuela, you know.
And you think the only reason that the president did this is because of their race or their ethnicity?
Yes.
Then that's the reason that they gave, was because of their race and ethnicity?
The reason that they gave, they didn't give a reason as far as I could tell. They handed out a list of countries of which the people from that country, everybody from that country, whether you've been, you know, whether you're a criminal or whether you're a solid contributor to America. And they, you know, at least 500,000 of them.
And these people had crossed the border illegally?
No, not necessarily. These people had come in as refugees. They'd come in as asylum seekers. That is a legal process.
Correct.
And the other thing about it is that mere unauthorized presence in the United States is not a criminal act.
It is.
It is a civil violation. It's roughly the equivalent of you
being present, crossing, being present in the country without authorization is a crime. It may be a civil offense, but it's still a crime.
Well, it's a civil offense.
It's a crime.
It's roughly the equivalent of if you camp in an unauthorized area at a national park.
Sure, it's still a crime, though. Right or wrong, it's still a crime.
Well.
And then your continued
criminality,
presence,
and then there's criminality.
But then your continued presence every day that you're here is you're recommitting that crime every single day.
Well,
right or wrong, again, if you don't like it, then change the law. But it's still a crime.
Well, they did change the law. The people who are authorized to be here. And
are you talking about the Dream Act, or when President Obama just declared with a stroke of a pen that they were allowed to stay, or because that wasn't legal?
Well, yes, it was. And
I don't remember Congress codifying that. I remember that was an executive order.
Well, some of it was executive orders, and some of it's laws. Of it's congressional.
So how does that equate, though, to the assumption that you make that this is race-based as opposed to someone who just doesn't want to see taxpayer dollars going to fund anything? Because I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't care if you're blonde, blue-eyed, white, co-ed from Norway. If you're here illegally, I'd ship your butt back home. And I don't care if you're black, brown, green, or whatever. If you're a cute little blonde co-ed playing on the volleyball team, if you're here illegally, I'd still send you home.
Well, the problem with this is the execution. You know, it said that...
But you didn't say that in the op-ed. Well, in the op-ed, you said, I'm a racist bigot who is supporting ethnic cleansing.
I said you need to own what you... I said you need to own what you support. And what you're supporting right now is basically... unauthorized illegal immigration, if you want to call it that.
Well, it's what it is.
It's being used to declare open season on brown-skinned people. And every day there are examples of people being grabbed off the street, whether they're illegal or not, and being put into ICE custody. It hasn't happened much in Kansas, but it did happen here.
Good.
I
don't have a problem with it. I mean, that's their job. Well, I mean, since you mentioned words matter and meanings of words matter.
Let me finish this part. Uh-huh. You know, they raided the Mexican restaurant in Lenexa, and they arrested...
I saw that.
They arrested about a dozen people.
I saw that, and they were here illegally.
They've had to let four of them go because they weren't.
But they had to arrest them to find out. I mean, they were here illegally. The ones that were here illegally need to be deported.
Well, show me your green card, Jared.
Well, I have a birth certificate.
Okay. Show it to me.
I've got it at home. Oh. I could do that. I could also show you my Social Security card and my passport.
Well.
And there's nothing wrong with them doing that. Asking for it, and I could provide it.
Well, you could if they give you the chance.
I'm sure they gave them the chance. And once they did, they were let go, weren't they?
But
I mean, when you use words,
you would feel pretty used if you couldn't walk down the street.
But when you use terms like ethnic cleansing, I mean, you mentioned words matter, and we're talking with Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle. Ethnic cleansing means the mass expulsion or killing of members of an unwanted ethnic or religious group. That's what ethnic cleansing means.
Yeah.
It's killing.
It's not necessarily killing.
That's I'm looking at the dictionary. It says the mass expulsion or killing of members. So that's what
the mass expulsion part
good.
That's troubling me right now.
Well, it doesn't trouble the 77 million of us who voted for it.
Well, you know, good for you.
So what do you... Well, that leads me to a whole other area that we're going to get into. But I guess why do you... assume that this is race-based as opposed to someone who just doesn't want to see taxpayer dollars going to fund anything for illegals?
Because the people who are being targeted are people of brown skins.
I don't think that's the case. They're targeting illegals. If it just happens to be the majority of illegals happen to be of a certain Hispanic origin, well, just happens to be coincidental.
Well, yeah, it's a coincidence when you go out to a Home Depot and start rounding people up.
Well, if that's where they're hanging out, then that's where you go get them.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe go get some of the ones who,
So let me ask you this way. Do you think illegal immigrants are a drain, a fiscal drain, or an asset to the... I mean, generally.
It's probably about a break even.
So according to the Center for Initial Immigrant Studies, which is a nonpartisan group, illegal immigrants are a net fiscal drain, meaning that they receive more in government services than they pay in taxes. It's not due to necessarily laziness or fraud, but they actually have high rates of work. They do. They work hard. But and they do pay some taxes, including income and payroll taxes. However, the current surge of illegal immigration shows that they actually, the population of illegals are a net drain on the country because of the services that they take from taxpayers.
Well, if I were sitting in front of a computer, I could probably find you a study that says the exact opposite thing.
Probably.
One thing that I'd like to talk about here is the slander that has been perpetrated against these people. The eating the dogs and eating the cats. This has been ridiculous. And they talk about these gangs, these criminal gangs.
Right.
Right. Well, why aren't we
having...
Are
you saying that there are no criminal gang, illegal gangs?
No, I'm saying there probably are. And
so then it's not slander.
Well,
it may be exaggeration.
Well, let's go after them instead of the people who are looking for work at a Walmart.
That's fair.
You know, I mean, the
we're using words. So, you know, maybe they need to moderate their phrasing and tone it down a little. But at the same time, you branded 77 million Americans as ethnic cleansers.
No, I said it. I said 77 million people need to own what they support. You know, I mean, it's like,
again, we're parsing words. But I'm coming up on a break.
Okay.
Let me take my break. And then I want to talk about, in the same op-ed, you said Trump was, quote, waging war on our country. I'd love to know what you meant by that. We're talking with Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle. We'll pay a few bills. Be back right after this. Thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company and our hosts here at AFP. We'll be back right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
By the way, for our live studio audience, Phil's playing Why Can't We Be Friends for the intro music. So Nicely done, Phil. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. Thanks to AFP and our friends at the Larkin Company. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, I was going to ask you about the waging war on our country part of that op-ed. But during the break, you got a question from one of the folks in the audience here. It was a great question, kind of comparing, you know, under Bill Clinton, when he did his immigration reforms and literally did away with due process for immigrants. Under Barack Obama, where there, I mean, that's where the whole kids in cages came from, was under Obama. And the question that was raised during that break was, what was your take on it when those two Democrat presidents did the same thing, if not more? I mean, there were more people who were actually, more immigrants that were deported under Joe Biden than under Donald Trump. And I don't remember, to the question from the member of the audience, I don't remember you writing an op-ed excoriating either of those presidents.
Well, for one thing, I wasn't an opinion writer.
That's true. Yes,
I was a news journalist, and such things would have been outside my portfolio to write. But fact of the matter is, I mean, this is different.
How is it different? How is it any different than Bill Clinton taking away due process rights from illegals or Barack Obama putting,
I'm
quote, kids in cages?
I'm not sure that Bill Clinton did that, but
1996.
Okay.
He literally used the power of the executive office to take away due process rights for illegals.
Okay. Then that would have been wrong.
But
I would have.
I'll give you credit for that.
I would have said, you know, if I had been an opinion writer then, I would have written an opinion saying that that is wrong.
That's wrong. So let me ask you this.
Due process is the most, you know, it's one of the most important assets of our entire constitutional system. And, we talked earlier about, like, you know, if they came up to you and said, you know, show me your papers.
Right.
And
you'd be wrong.
You know, that.
And they took it away from me, right?
And
my rights.
Well, yeah.
And, what about say.
Or they ask you for your green card and then they keep
it. That'd be wrong. What about if, say, the government said you have to wear a mask, or the government says you can't have your church service, if the government says you have to get a vaccine?
The ICE people seem to love.
That's my point. I mean, do you think it's fair for the government to say you have to get a vaccine, or you lose your job, or you can't have a church service?
Well, it kind of depends on the job, actually.
That's not my point. That's my point.
The people who were required to have vaccines.
Or lose their jobs.
Were primarily military members, as I recall.
Not necessarily.
You know, I mean.
What about mask mandates or vaccine mandates or gather in public mandates? Were those right? How about this? How about the Biden administration that was forcing. I've never been vaccinated and won't do it. Wouldn't do it. They couldn't make me do it. And if my employer tried, I'd have told them to go pound sand.
Well, I was, and I survived the COVID pit that was the Kansas legislature during that time.
So did you ever get COVID?
Huh? No, I haven't gotten COVID.
Never got COVID. I know people who've been vaccinated five times and still got COVID two or three times.
I got vaccinated. And
Club Moderna. But, you know, Biden had lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, all the closed churches. A federal judge condemned the Biden administration for silencing COVID dissent online. Was that any different than what, you know, you've often said that Trump's a dictator? How is that not dictatorial?
Well, I think the situation is just how, you know, how far do you want to take it? You know, I mean, you know, I don't recall anybody ever being arrested for not wearing a mask.
Oh, I know the Brandon Whipple put a snitch line into place, but in your July 29th op-ed, by the way, we're talking with Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle. In your July 29th op-ed, you talked about how you learned about battling dictatorships from a PBS show. Uh-huh. It was a fascinating. I've seen that show, by the way, that you mentioned. And you went on to say that what would you do if one day the government took control of the media, rewarding those who spread the leader's propaganda and silencing dissenting voices? And you went on to say, little did I suspect that in the twilight of my career, I'd face that then fictional scenario as a real journalist in the real United States of America. Do you really believe that Donald Trump is a dictator?
I think that Donald Trump has some very dictatorial tendencies, yes.
But a dictator, again, dictionary, a dictatorship is a form of government where a single person or a small group holds absolute or near absolute power, often through autocratic means. So how is he a dictator? How does he hold absolute power?
Because he's, look at the executive orders he's issuing.
But Joe Biden issued hundreds of executive orders. On day one, he stopped the pipeline that put thousands of people out of work.
That didn't put thousands.
It did put thousands of people out of work.
Give me a break. It put thousands.
He literally shut down an entire industry.
Oh, come on.
He literally put people out of work on day one.
That pipeline would have had like 30 employees.
Okay, I will take some time to fact check that one for you, but, you know,
look
then again,
many,
the Wichita Eagles never been known for facts, so. But
neither
literally,
have you.
Literally, I mean, political freedoms is such as freedom of speech, assembly, and the press are typically restrained under a dictatorship. How is Donald Trump limiting freedom of speech or assembly? I mean, it was under Joe Biden that you couldn't go to church.
Well, they took away the funding for PBS because they object to, like, one show.
Well, they took away funding for PBS. This is the same, and NPR, the same organizations that NPR had 80-some members of their editorial board, all of whom were Democrats. So why should we be using taxpayer money to fund an organization that's biased?
Well, first of all, that was their Washington, D.C. employees.
It doesn't change the fact that it's true.
Well, it changes the fact, but it doesn't change the fact that there are, you know, hundreds of employees.
But if it's true, then why are we
all over the country?
Why are we using taxpayer funding to fund PBS where they're doing Tickle Me Elmo Gay and where they're literally using children's television to promote?
What are you talking about?
Have you not watched some of PBS Sesame Street where they're literally transitioning characters, where Gonzo is coming out as transgender and non-binary? I mean, is that appropriate television for children?
I don't even think that even happened.
It did. Yes, it did.
You know, I mean, it's.
I mean, you here's another one that you've. Congressional Reporter report commissioned by Congress, released by the Department of Energy, estimated that the cancellation of the pipeline between 16,000 and 59,000 potential construction jobs and an economic impact of $3.1 billion.
That construction jobs.
I said jobs. There's
construction jobs that last how long? A year.
I didn't say they were long-term jobs. I said jobs,
right,
that would be lost.
But let's be realistic. I mean, it takes 30 people to run that pipeline.
We're parsing words again. You said words matter. I gave you how many jobs that would be lost. That's how many jobs that were lost day one.
But they just went and built a pipeline someplace else. That's a pipeline building company.
Let me. I want to get back because I want to give them a chance to earn some prizes. You've equated Trump to Hitler. Okay. You've called Senator Marshall a racist and a sexist.
Yeah.
You've said some horrible things about Hunter Larkin and Michael O'Donnell. They're private citizens. Do you think
they
this
are now?
They are now, and you said some of those while they were private citizens. Do you think this type of rhetoric is conducive or helpful to call your president Hitler?
I think that if you don't want to get called a Nazi, then don't do as many Nazi things.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's just.
And you know, you and I have been friends a long time.
Yeah.
So I want to ask it this way. According to the Society of Professional Journalists, one of the SPJ code of ethics is to support the open and civil exchange of views, even views they find repugnant. You're a journalist. I'm not a journalist. Do you think saying 77 million Americans who voted for Trump are supporting ethnic cleansing, do you think calling the president Hitler is in any way supportive?
When exactly did I call the president?
You equated him to a fascist and a Nazi.
I believe what you're talking about there was the revocation of birthright citizenship.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think what I said there was that another world leader had tried that.
Correct.
And it didn't work out well for him.
Correct.
So,
do you think any of that supports open and civil exchange of views according to the Code of Ethics of Journalists?
I think it does. I think it's
okay.
I think it.
This is part of the problem I think that we have in our culture when we can't dis. I mean, we've got a United States congressman who was on earlier last segment, yeah, last hour, who's getting death threats because he disagrees with people.
No, I get threats too. So,
sure, yeah. I don't
probably
approve of that.
You do as well.
I do, and I don't approve of that. We should be able to disagree without that kind of rhetoric is so over the top.
It goes with the territory. You know,
but it's so over the top to say that someone's a fascist, someone's a Hitler, someone's a Nazi, just because you disagree with their take on something.
No, it's not because I disagree with their take on something. It's I disagree with what they're doing. And the fact is, I mean,
fair.
You have to, I'm not going to, I'm judging people on the actions.
I think you're judging people on your interpretation of the actions.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to. When Senator Marshall, for example, when we had the plane crash, and he and Donald Trump, their explanation for the plane crash was diversity, equity, and inclusion.
I think their reference was that the obviously, the error was in somewhere within the control tower, and perhaps we're dumbing down the hiring statics, the hiring qualifications. And clearly, that's what the tests have found out, that there was obviously errors in the air traffic control tower. So maybe we shouldn't be dumbing down the hiring standards. Yeah, clearly, if you keep dumbing down the standards, that's what you're going
to
get.
If you listen to the NTSB hearing on that. You'd find that the military helicopter was in the wrong place,
and the control tower was understaffed by undertrained people.
The control tower was understaffed. The people
by undertrained people.
Well,
I'm up on a hard break, but okay. Diane, I love you. I want to do these again. I have a blast doing these, and I appreciate you coming to what would probably be considered a hostile environment, but we love you. I do appreciate you taking the time to do this. If folks want to, obviously they can find your work at the Wichita Eagle, and they can find you on X at Dion Kansas, D-I-O-N Kansas on X. I appreciate you as always for being willing to come and join us.
Tell them to go on Facebook. I don't do much X anymore.
Facebook it is. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll see who might be able to give us some answers on our fact or fiction game. You're listening to a live broadcast at AFP's headquarters, thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station, thanks to our friends at the Larkin Company. Don't forget, AFP's next day of action is coming up the third Saturday of the month. You can open that door in case people want to hear. Yep, perfect. Saturday the 16th. It's a great way for you to get engaged, to make a difference, make your voice heard, rather. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Only have a few minutes left. We're going to try another round of our game, Fact or Fiction, on the rescission bill. So what items were actually cut, what wasn't cut from the rescission bill? So let's try this one here. Oh, this is good. This is a good one. So is this true or false? Was this cut or not cut? $540,000 for empathy training program for crocodile farmers in Cambodia. One, two, three, four. Who say five? Who say that's real? No, that's fake. That one was fake. How about $2.1 million for climate resilience in Southeast Asia, Latin America, and East Africa? That is true. That is true. $500,000 for electric buses in Rwanda. That is also true. Wow. Okay. This one you'd be surprised about. $1.8 million for a zero emissions hot air balloon diplomacy tour in Eastern Europe. Fake. That is fake. Let's see here. $3.6 million to study the emotional well-being of parrots in Costa Rica. That is also fake. One last one. $33,000 for being LGBTQ in the Caribbean. True. We'll see you next week, folks.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.